This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We are about to head into our interview with our lovely guest. So the guest, our guest today is Dr. Sashni Naika, and she's a practicing homeopath. She's been doing this for 12 years, and she came to Durban from Polokwane in Limpopo, and she's going to be talking to us about the uses, the benefits, all those interesting things about homeopathy. And she'll tell me how to pronounce it. Homeopathy and holistic healing. So, Dr. Sashni, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Kenya.
So good to have you on the show. Thank you for taking the time. So, we're going to get right into it. How do you define holistic wellness, and how does it guide your approach to patient care?
Okay, so holistic wellness is basically taking into account the patient as a whole. Not just the symptoms that they present to you, but their mental, emotional state, stress, anxiety, and of course their physical well-being and their diet, lifestyle. All of that is taken into consideration. That's a definition of a holistic practitioner, as opposed to an allopathic practitioner who is just focusing on the symptoms.
Okay, awesome. And then you specialize in how do you pronounce it? Homeopathy?
It's homeopathy.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You specialize in homeopathy. So how does that differ from what we would consider conventional medicine?
Yeah, so homeopathy is very different from conventional medicine. As I mentioned earlier, we don't just look at the symptoms that the patient would present with. We look at the patient as a whole. So a lot of people, and we always try to find the root cause of why they have the issue in the first place. Whereas an allopathic doctor, if you go to him for, let's use the example of diabetes, they're literally just going to give you a glucophage or something just to help you with the diabetes, to control the insulin by suppressing neurological functions, and the synthetic drug takes over to metabolize your carbohydrates. Whereas I look at it very differently. I want to know why you're diabetic in the first place. Is it hereditary? Is it just because you have a really bad lifestyle? Is your diet not very good? Are you very stressed? Are you not exercising? So those are the things I would look for. Also, other issues like, do you have an underactive thyroid, which perhaps could be causing the sluggish carbohydrate metabolism? Oh. Or are you going through a hormonal issue in your life? So there's lots of things that I would consider before I just treat a patient, as opposed to an allopathic practitioner who just treats symptomatically.
Okay. And then, obviously with... You've also got a different approach to how you would essentially test for all of these issues, you know, how you would assess, diagnose, all of those things. So what is your process for,
practice, I do live blood analysis. I've also got a machine called a bioscan. But just to give you a brief understanding of the live blood, so when my patient comes to see me, I do a very detailed case history, ask them lots of questions, and then the live blood is basically taking a drop of their blood from their finger, just a pinprick, put it onto a microscope slide, which is connected to a TV screen. So the patient has full view of what their blood looks like in that moment. And then I'll run through it. There's so much that I can read from just the patient's blood. So high acidity, if they have liver issues, hormonal issues. So that's one of the tools that I use to help find the root cause of what's going on in the patient's body. The bioscan is very in-depth. It works on electromagnetic frequency. Remember, beyond this physical body, the energy, we resonate at a frequency. Mm-hmm. So the bioscan connects to that through meridian points on the patient's fingers, which is connected to my laptop. And then I'm able to pick up so many things, from hormonal imbalances, vitamin deficiencies. So then I get an overall understanding of what's going on in the patient's body, and then I know how to treat. You know, So that's basically what I do in the office. And these are the diagnostic tools that I use to try and help me. And of course, I'm also affiliated with the lab, Lancet, Ampath. So if I need to just find out more, I also do send my patients for blood as well.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So this is all, sounds very scientific. This is why we need to go to people who can read, who can read the things. But what kind of treatment, can you give an example of a treatment plan that you have given someone or that you would give someone for gut health? What kind of treatments would you be giving them?
Okay, for gut health. Yeah, you know, they say all diseases start in the gut, and that is so true. And so when I look at gut health, most doctors would just think you need a probiotic or you need to be on a cleansing diet. There's so much to your gut, and it starts with the simple thing like digestive enzymes. So I would need to know, is your stomach producing the good digestive enzyme hydrochloric acid, or have you weakened your stomach acids by taking antacids, which most people just pop antacids, enos, and things like that on a regular, not realizing the consequence of this for your gut. Because when you do this, you almost neutralize your stomach acid. Stomach acid is hydrochloric acid. It's very acidic. It's acidic for a reason, because it needs to digest your food. So people who neutralize their stomach acids by taking antacids, eventually when that food particle, which hasn't been digested properly by your stomach acids, it gets into your gut, you're sitting with undigested food particles, which causes candida, bloating. So I would look at gut health by looking at the stomach acid. Is it acid enough?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so we know the layperson, when we think about acidic, neutral, we think of our science classes from primary school, right? So how do we understand the body's pH level just in our day to day? Like, how would we know, oh, okay, I should probably come and see Dr. Nika because my pH is not okay. How can we tell in ourselves?
Yeah, most people feel it. They feel it in their joints. They feel it, you know, the skin. Your skin is the first, is the major organ that shows your acidity. Mm-hmm. If you're very tired all the time, anemia, because your red blood cells, if you're highly acidic, your red blood cells stick together. The job of the red blood cells is to carry iron and oxygen from your head to your toe. So if it's all acidic and clumped together, which we see when we do the live blood analysis, you're not going to absorb iron appropriately. So you're fatigued, constipated. A quick way of also, to test your pH is you can go into Dischem and you can, strip. Mm-hmm. And you can test your salivary pH by just putting the strip onto your tongue. And if the strip turns blue, then you know you're quite neutral. But if it's green, so you're quite acidic. So that's a nice way to go, you know, an inexpensive way. If you don't come to me, of course, because I do that in my office and the lab. Yeah.
Yes. Now this is why we pay all the doctors the money, because we can't be reading our colors, and you know, we go to the offices.
Yes.
And so then just on a personal note, what inspired you? How did you get into homeopathy? How did you get into this whole holistic healing? Yeah, what was your journey?
When I was in matric, I'm a Hindu, so my spiritual head of it's called Divine Life, which we were following at the time. My guru actually started my whole investigation into homeopathy. I always wanted to be a doctor. And at that time, this is now about, I am old, so I can't even do the math years ago. I didn't even know what homeopathy was about, and it wasn't so popular at the time. And he actually told me, research homeopathy, study homeopathy, because that's the future. And that's how my journey started. And then I had two children, and they were my biggest inspiration, because my children have never been on antibiotics. They are quite healthy. and they've got quite a strong vitality. That's because I've never suppressed their vital force by, you know, suppressive medication. And I know it works because no matter how sick they get with a high fevers or whatever it is, I treat them homeopathically. And that, you know, just reinforced my belief that it really works, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, so it's all of that. My family, myself, my father is 78 and he's not in chronic medication. So just good diet and being on good supplements and the homeopathic medication, you know, and you obviously need somebody to guide you. And I'm fortunate enough that I know so much about it. But when my patients come to me, I help them. It's not like, you know, I want them to be completely dependent on me, that every time they get sick, I teach them how to maintain wellness. Yeah.
That's lovely. So just if we can, you know, I want to get another example. We're talking about lifestyle, diet, emotional health. How have you seen, so if we're sticking with, let's say, a patient with gut health issues, how have you
seen...
If we're sticking with a patient who's got...
The gut health.
Yes. So how have you seen emotional health impact the physical health? How have you... can you give us an example of like a specific... a manifestation of the emotional in the physical in how you've in a patient? Is there anything?
Yeah, you look, that's one of the biggest things, you know, that we look at, because your mental emotional state will cause the physical problem. If you are constantly, I mean, a simple example which the listeners I'm sure have experienced it, everybody experiences this, you know, you're having a really bad day, you're feeling very depressed. The first thing you look for is comfort food, you know. Most people will just sit in front of the TV, look for comfort food, you know, just eat unhealthy, don't feel motivated to go outside and exercise. And that obviously creates lots of issues, because the more unhealthy you eat, the more it's going to cause high acidity in your body and cause a whole lot of problems.
Mm.
Yeah, but mental emotional health is very important. There's so many people walking around with high anxiety, high stress levels, and that impacts your physical being, you know.
Yes.
It will impact your gut, your skin, in every way, because then you don't tend to make the right choices when you're not feeling well, you know, mentally and emotionally well.
Yes. And then, again, we're talking about diet and all everything that goes into making a healthy body, a healthy mind. So we hear all these, you know, we live in an age of diet culture. We're trying to get away from it, but it's always there. So when you say a good diet, what does that mean to you?
A good diet is, number one, sticking to your cultural diet. Look, I'm Indian, and I need curry. I eat grilled every day. So it's very important to stick to your cultural diet. That's number one. But number two, reading labels. Look, there is so much of food that is genetically modified, that has E. codes on it, additives, processed, boxed food. If we can do away with that, I use this analogy with my patients. I say, ask yourself when you're walking through the aisles of Woolworths or Pick and Pay, is it man-made or is it from the earth? Is it from God? Is it earth? So like your vegetables, your good produce, your chicken, you know, obviously not, you know, injected with hormones and all of that, just good farm produce. That's so important. And not, you know, going out and buying takeout. It's got a lot of big words like monosodium bisulfate, the big word for salt, very high in salt and MSG. So it's keeping it very simple. And that's sticking to your cultural diet and reading labels. Don't buy boxed food. Don't take out. Cook a home meal, you know. For example, instead of going out to Woolies and buying boxed chicken nuggets, make your own chicken nuggets at home, you know. Use good herbs, thyme and rosemary, and flavor your food. And never use stock cubes and aromat. And, you know, just use salt, table salt.
Oh no, you're taking away all our flavor, all the things that scare us. taking away the flavor.
No, but you add flavor to using the good herbs, you know, and spices. But minus all the man-made things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And lots of water.
Yes.
You should be drinking at least 2 liters of water a day.
Yes. So speaking of water, how do we manage drinking our water when we've got so many water issues in the country? You know, how do
I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's a real problem. Water has become a real problem. You know, I often tell my patients buy thirsty water, but lots of people cannot afford to just go out and buy water, you know. So even if you use your tap water and boil it, you know, cool it. And keep it in your fridge.
And no, I'm sorry. You carry on.
Sorry?
No, continue with you. Yeah?
Yeah. I just think water is very important to drink lots of water and hydrate yourself. But also, you know, lots of people go out and buy water. But even with water, it needs to have a very high TDS, total dissolved solids in your water. The mineral count of the water is very important. So I always advise my patients to buy the thirsty water that's out there, as opposed to the valproate and all of that, which is very, actually quite acidic water. So that's also a big topic of discussion in my office when I help patients make choices. Yeah.
Yes. And I've seen some of your work. You talk about not using water that has used reverse osmosis. What is that, and why is it so bad for us?
Yes, so that's also bad because what they do when they do the reverse osmosis is they remove all the minerals from the water. Remember, our body is just pure chemistry. Mm. So even water that needs to enter the cell, there's a chemical charge that needs to happen for the gates of the cells to open for water to enter and to be metabolized. But if you've got drinking water that's devoid of minerals, it's not going to be able to enter on a cellular level. So this steals your minerals from your bones. And the long-term effect is it weakens your bones and it's up your acidity. So that's why, you know, you've got to read even the label of your water, which is, it's in some very fine print on the label, and it's called TDS, total dissolved solids. It should be greater than 200, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me, because then it's like, in your head, okay, I won't eat the GMO, I won't eat all those things, I'll drink water. But then now you've got to look at the water to make sure you're drinking the right water.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many things that go into, you know, a healthy lifestyle, a healthy diet, and it can feel very overwhelming, very complicated. Mm-hmm. So can you, how do you customize your treatment plans to your patients?
Yes, it does seem overwhelming initially, but so I give my patients a very detailed dietary plan, which I email to them, right? But I also, we keep it as basic, and it's very individualistic. So depending on who's sitting in front of me, I help them accordingly to their needs and, you know, to their preferences, their budget as well. You've got to look at all of that. So I really tailor make each patient that comes here would be treated very uniquely, and it's very, very individualized. Yeah.
Yes.
Otherwise, it just becomes, you know, it's simple, and it just depends. Yeah, like I say, it just depends who's sitting in front of me. And for some people, they're already doing it, and they just need slight twerks. For some people, they don't know anything about, you know, healthy eating. They've just been misguided all their lives, and it becomes very overwhelming for those patients. So I take it very step by step.
Yes. So I've always had this idea that, to me, like what we would call conventional medication, to me is for traumas, right? It's for pain management. You've had an accident and you need pain management, or you need surgery. And then everything else, like homeopathy, is to make sure that you don't end up in an emergency situation outside of accidents, right? So how do you collaborates with other healthcare professionals to ensure that you have comprehensive care for your patients if there was, you know, emergency trauma care, all of those things, or just in general, if they need something that, that you maybe don't focus on everything. It's holistic, but
So how do you? In my the place that I'm working, the offices that I'm at, I share rooms with Dr. Rafi Kanaka. He's also a naturopath and he's a GP by profession. So if there's certain emergency cases, I would refer to Dr. Rafiq, or we talk about the cases. And yes, there's certain things that are beyond my scope, you know, and it's very important to also acknowledge when it is a medical emergency and when the patient needs to be referred. And that's what I do as well. So, yeah. So I do refer if need be. And, it just depends on the case. Yeah.
Yes. So then when you are doing referrals or you need to work with other doctors, what kind of challenges are you encountering trying to integrate homeopathy with other medical practices?
I would say it's not very easy. Lots of doctors still don't acknowledge what we do, you know. So it's not very easy to actually work with other doctors. Mm. So I don't really work with any doctors as such, you know what I mean? It's just that if I feel like a patient needs to be referred, I will refer them to whoever they need to be with. If it's a physician, a cardiologist, I would definitely refer. But in terms of working together with other practitioners, no, I don't.
Yeah, so clearly we're still working against a lot of stigmas and a lot of moving away from the colonial idea of what medication and health is.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I think, lots of people haven't reached that mindset as yet.
Yes.
But we're getting there. There are a lot of GPs now who believe, into integrative medicine and things like that, like Dr. Rafiq. But we are definitely getting there. But, it will take time, I suppose.
Okay.
Also be educated on this. Lots of even doctors don't really know what we do.
Yes.
You know, they assume it, but they don't really understand exactly what homeopathy is about. Yeah.
Okay. So then, thank you so much for your time. We're going to wrap up in a minute. But before we go, what advice would you have for individuals wanting to start incorporating holistic practices into their daily lives?
Firstly, diet is very important. I mean, if you could just stop with sugars and processed foods and takeouts, that's already a big thing that you're doing. Mm. Supplementation is very important, but it's also very important, read ingredients. Read ingredients, even your supplement has a lot of fillers and things like that and other stuff in it. So make sure you're buying the right product. And there's so many homeopaths all over Durban. You know, you just have to Google homeopaths in Durban or a naturopath in Durban and you'll find somebody. But I think if you really don't know where to start, the best advice I could give is to actually see someone, a homeopath in Durban, and take it from there, because then you're getting proper, advice instead of just, getting stuff off YouTube and Twitter and things like that. Yeah.
So then if we want to start with you, where can we find you?
So I'm based in Glenwood in Durban. Mm-hmm. I'm on number 191 Bulwer Road in Glenwood. Yeah. And then you can Google my name, Dr. Sashini Naika. All my information comes up.
Yes.
And, my my contact details are all there, and people are welcome to just give me a call. I can explain it a bit more before they, you know, actually book an appointment with me, but they're welcome to call me.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for your time. All our doctors are actually, you can Google us and we love it. We love our doctors with the Google page. Thank you so much. I hope you have a good rest of your day. We've got lots of good information from you, and yeah, I wish you a wellness week Wednesday as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Sashini Naika.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.